This is Discover Your Dog, the show that demystifies your dog's behavior so you can get the very best results from your dog training. This show is brought to you by FamilyDogFusion.com. For professional advice, dog training tips, ebooks, and a video to teach your dog how to walk on a leash, go to FamilyDogFusion.com and sign up for your free membership today.
In the last two shows, I talked about correcting your dog. It is an important tool in training, and used in the right way, it will be very effective in teaching your dog how to be a perfect part of your family. In the last show, I stated that it is always best to use motivation over correction. Since I did talk about that briefly, I thought it would be best to follow up with another tool of training, motivation.
We would love for you to join our community of dog lovers. Log on to Facebook and search for our business page, Family Dog Fusion. There you will get updates as to what's going on with our dog-loving family and friends from all over the world. See events, our travels, or just information that you may need about the podcast, our book, or the new products we'll be releasing. That's Family Dog Fusion on Facebook. See you there.
This is Discover Your Dog, the show that demystifies your dog's behavior so that you get the very best out of your motivation. I am Benny Copeland, trainer of people, behaviorist to the dogs, and just like you, the listener, a dog lover. Thanks again for listening in. I almost said tuning in. I think you can still do that on a car radio, but these shows have to be downloaded, and I'm very happy that you did. Hey, was that motivating? Was it motivating enough to get you to share the show? What if I offered the first 10,000 listeners that shared the show a crisp new $100 bill? Would that motivate you enough? If it did, and I could afford it, and I could track that, I would love to make that offer. But here's the thing. Would you listen to the next show because you wanted to? Or would you be listening for another great offer? Would your friend only listen for that chance at that same offer? Even better, would you ever share my show with anyone else if I never again made the offer? Let's get back to those questions right after this.
Do you love what you hear in all of these podcasts? Does what Benny say just make sense to you? Well, if you want a more in-depth understanding of what it means when we say demystify your dog's behavior, then you need to go to Amazon.com and get Benny's book, Family Dog Fusion. Yes, we named the book after the website because we wanted things to be simple to remember. And most of all, we really want to fuse your dog into your family. In these few pages, Benny has decoded dog behavior. He's found a way to make what he has learned over the past 20 years of his life make sense when it comes to communicating with your dog. Also, the great thing about this book is you can mark up the pages, highlight the important stuff, bend the heck out of the spine even if you want to. It's yours. So we suggest to do all those things and then give it away and buy a new book when that happens. Family Dog Fusion on Amazon.com. Get your copy today.
Motivation as a method of training is the most common way of training in the United States. Probably the world. I don't know. When I talk about motivation in that way, in the way that I train and teach it, I talk about it as a tool for training, not a method of training. A tool, by definition, is a device to carry out a particular function. The function of motivation, as defined by my book, Family Dog Fusion, available on Amazon.com, another shameless self-promotion, is anything positive you use to create a situation where your dog pays attention to you, then makes a choice. Anything overused as a motivation creates an expectation from your dog. Most of you use motivation as a method of training, not a tool. This means that most times you're overusing motivation to get your dog to make a choice. Now, here's the deal. When you are training, truly training your dog, you are doing things to set your dog up to make choices. everyone does this that takes the time to work with their dog. When you see that a dog is very well behaved, making really good choices, maybe even doing a little special trick here and then, it didn't just shoot out of the womb doing those things and behaving that way. I don't care what the owner tells you, it takes work. So if you think it comes naturally, just ask an Olympic athlete, a professional sports person, or a Hollywood star. Yes, some talent is natural, but to hone that talent, you still have to practice. This means when you want your dog to make good choices, you have to practice. Not only do you practice so that the dog will make good choices, you have to practice so that you can see your dog make the good choices. This is what motivation does. Motivation creates that your dog will make good choices more times than not. When I am teaching a dog to walk on a leash, at first, I usually have to correct the dog and change directions when she pulls me. When we practice it, soon becomes that I only have to motivate my dog to pay attention to me when I'm changing directions. I do this verbally. Verbal motivation is really the most common type of motivation used, even though when I talk about motivation when I'm training or working with a client and I ask, what do you think the most common motivation is? The answer is always food or treats. As a matter of fact, the most common motivation used is your dog's name. This is the thing you say to your dog more times than not to get your dog to pay attention to you. Why? Because you want your dog to look at you. You think that if your dog is looking at you, she's paying attention, right? Not really. One of the first things your dog learns about you is that if she doesn't look at you, she doesn't have to do what you say. Why do you think that is? Well, it's because you keep doing things to make her look at you before you actually will give a command or ask something of her. At first, you may say her name. When that doesn't work and she doesn't look at you, you raise your voice a little. Or you clap or make a sudden noise. And then you repeat her name a little bit louder. Then you move around to get in front of her face. And then you finally give the command. Your dog really does not have to be looking at you to hear you. There's this thing that I do when I'm around kids while I'm training. Most of the time, kids are distracted and they'll sometimes watch what I'm doing, but for the most part, they're off in some other world. Without skipping a beat, I will ask a kid that is not looking at me to get a glass of water. Without even turning, that child will start to head to the kitchen or wherever they keep the bottles of water. This is when I point out to the parent that their kids have been paying attention to them and playing them for years. They did not have to be looking at me to pay attention or to hear my request. Neither does your dog. There were times I would think to myself, I really need to get Molly's ears checked. She would not turn or even react when I called her name or, you know, told her to come inside. I thought she was just getting old and her hearing was going. Then, just a few hours later, I would take the lid off the treat jar. When she was even in the other room, she would be at my feet in a millisecond. Women say, many times they say this about their husbands or their children, that they have, and I'm quoting with my fingers, selective hearing. Well, your dog does too. In reality, your dog's second best way that she learns from you is your voice tone. She knows when you're serious and she knows when you're not. Your voice is the most common thing you use to motivate your dog, not treats or food. This is why your dog ignores you for the most part, because anything overused as a motivation creates an expectation. Your dog has learned, if I look at her or react to her, then I even give an inkling that I heard her, I'm going to have to do what she said. Stay calm. Keep eating off the table. Motivation as a tool is an effective way to get your dog to pay attention to you and make good choices. Whenever you use motivation, your dog is more likely to remember what you said and more likely to want to do what you asked. If you remember, the definition of obedience is the willingness to obey. If your dog remembers and wants to do what you ask, you are on the right track to creating an obedient dog. Almost anything can be used as a motivation, as we've discussed. But the biggest thing you have to be aware of is whether or not you're overusing the tool of motivation. How do you know if you're overusing motivation? Well, there are some very easy ways to tell, and then some not so easy. Again, just as with correction as a tool, it takes awareness on your part. If you have a dog that waits for you to do something before she does what you asked or even reacts to you, you have overused motivation as a tool for training your dog. If your dog pokes your nose into your hand or onto your pocket or looks for you to give her a sign, you have overused treats as a motivation. If your dog continues to do what she's doing once you ask something of her, and she won't stop until you make some grand gesture or say a certain word, you have overused motivation. There was a time when I made a list of what motivated my dogs. Then I gave each thing a level of importance. Here's the trouble with the list. It's never the same for any two dogs. Oz is extremely food motivated. Beans is okay with treats, definitely not her biggest motivation. Molly really could have cared less about treats, even though when she knew I was at the treat jar, she would hear it from a mile away. But Bean's biggest motivation is play. She loves to chase and she loves to be chased. She zooms around the house and she incites the other dogs to chase her. Molly's biggest motivation was touch. She really loved to snuggle and to be petted and to be touched and was always right next to me all the time. Find out what motivates your dog, then be aware when you overuse that thing. It would not take Oz long to expect me to give him a treat to do whatever I asked. I'm going to go on a little tangent here because something just happened recently. I was out of town and my roommate told me that sometimes he didn't remember to go to the treat jar when he was leaving because I always treat the dogs when I leave, so they'll go in their crate. Well, Oz would refuse to go in the crate. He would just sit there and sometimes even walk over to where we keep in their little laundry areas where I keep the treats, sometimes walk over there and look at Josh, my roommate, as if, hey, you got to do something before I'm going in there. See, Oz does expect a treat in order to go in his crate. Now, do I care? No, I think it's okay. And have I overused that as a motivation? Absolutely. See, this is something that we do. It's part of what we do. I don't care at this point. This is something that I'm not really worried about. Now, if I really told him he needed to go to his crate and I didn't have a treat, he would go. But he does expect something in order to go in there. Beans is sort of getting the same way, but her big thing is that I kind of make it a fun game with her. And so it's a game before we go in the crate. And so she loves that part of it. Find out what motivates your dog and then be aware when you're overusing that thing. I'm very aware that I've overused treats as a motivation to get Oz to go into his crate. Now, even if I went to the treat bowl and I started walking around the house, he would follow me right at my heels everywhere I go because it's very high on his motivation. But last night he was in his little bed and I kept calling him to come out of the bed and come into my room and he didn't want to do it. My voice is a very low motivation for him. I give the tools I use as motivation and I rank them. If a tool is ranked really high on the motivation scale, such as treats for Oz, I use it very, very sparingly. If motivation tool is ranked low on the motivation scale, I use it much more often. This way, the reaction from Oz is that he does what I ask without the expectation of a motivation or a correction. Once you've used motivation or correction to get your dog to do something, your dog has not done it willingly. Or as I state to my clients, once you use motivation or correction, you have created that the command you gave is unsuccessful. For something to be done willingly, you have to state your expectation and your dog does it immediately. So let's revisit my opening questions. When I talked about giving you that fresh, crisp $100 bill for sharing my show with a friend, what went through your head? Most of you knew I was not going to go through with it in the first place, and it really didn't have much effect on you. Many of you don't even really need $100. It would take much more like $10,000 to get your attention. But there were a few out there that thought, man, I will share this before I even listen to it to get that $100 bill. Motivation, money as a motivation, is one of those high-ranking motivations for people. especially kids. Just ask one of your kids to wash your car. Whether they say yes or no, offer them $100 to do it. If they do it and you give them the $100, do you think that they'll do it for free the next time you ask? No. As a matter of fact, they're probably going to try to get more out of you, because motivation's a good tool. It's just not a great method when teaching and training. I said this at the very end of episode 215, correctly correcting your dog. And I'm going to say it again here. Correction is a practice in awareness. Is the correction you are currently using working? Does your dog stop doing what he's doing and pay attention to you? Is your correction too intense? Is your dog fearful of you when you reach a certain tone or have a certain body language? The level in which you correct needs to be different in certain situations, and you have to be aware when it is necessary to correct at a higher or lower level. Sometimes I don't even correct my dog to get them to stop and pay attention. Sometimes I use a sweet tone to get him to refocus and to make him do what I want. I have reached that level with my dog that a verbal correction is effective, and more times than not, I am motivating him to do something more times than not than correcting him for doing something. This level takes much training and great communication between you and your dog. Motivation is also a practice in awareness. Is what you are currently using as a motivation working, or is it working too well? Does your dog expect you to do that thing or to do something or to get something in order for him or her to do for you? If so, you are overusing the motivation tool. One of the most important phrases I use here in my shows and when I'm working with a client is you have to see that your dog makes the choice and then respond appropriately in that moment to have great communication. This means you really have to understand each tool for training as it's supposed to be used in the moment your dog makes a decision or has a big reaction to something. A correction is just to make your dog stop doing that thing and pay attention to you. Motivation is used to make a good choice and help him to remember that good choice. Praise is only praise when your dog makes the choice that you want and you give positive, pleasing, loving attention in the moment of that choice. So, in summary, today I began by motivating you to share all of my shows, right? You discovered what motivation means when it comes to training your dog. You also learned that overmotivation, especially with high-valued items, can create that your dog will expect something from you before doing what you asked. Thank you.
If you would like to contact us, we have a link on our website, familydogfusion.com. We would love to hear your opinion, and we value your feedback. So again, familydogfusion.com. Or if you just want to send us a direct message, you can do that via email. It goes to familydogfusion@gmail.com. Your comments are important to us and help us with future shows. Thank you for listening to our show. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast and share it with your friends and family. Also, go ahead and give us a 5-star review, because it helps others find our show. And frankly, we just love to read them. This show is produced by Eric Janer, and show notes are created by Carissa Dolan. Thank you to all of the Family Dog Fusion team and our affiliate sponsor, Healthy Paws Pet Insurance. For your free pet insurance quote, go to familydogfusion.com/insurance. And go to familydogfusion.com and sign up for your free membership today.
Be impeccable with your dog.